your children. The enemy came up against your name. The enemy came up against your character. You will win, win. You will win, win. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finances. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will win. Oh, you will win. Yes, you will.
Your neighbor and tell them James Boyd. Or you can call me by my niche. Call me by my niche.
JB.
JB. That's right. Don't get it twisted. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. And God bless you all. Yeah. We're trying to have church this morning. Hey, congratulations to Sammy Brown.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. Everything attached to her wins. That's right. Sammy did the thing. So congratulations. Big kudos to you,
she sure
Sammy.
Did.
And all and everybody that, you know, just stepped up to the plate.
Brother John Doyle.
John Doyle.
Yeah. Good man.
Yeah, he did the thing, man. So maybe we're moving in the right direction.
We got to say thanks to Zaki, too. He got more votes than any other Democrat in Berkeley County.
Yes, he did. I don't even think he got on fire yet. I've never seen Zaki really get moving more than 5 or 10 miles an hour, because he's pretty cool about his
demeanor.
Well,
he's probably like one of those, what they used to call them, the used to rule the world, Titans.
The Titans.
Before the Greek gods, they had the Titans, right? One of those guys that now they decided to go to sleep under the mountains, and then God help us if they start to turn over.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so I'm looking for good things from Zaki. Really, he's already been providing some really good leadership over at the NAACP. So I really appreciate
it. Yeah, he's got a kind of San Francisco attitude, maybe a North Philly, a sort of a combination.
I think that's where his roots are, right?
Yeah, I think his family from
Pennsylvania.
I went to his mom's family. Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, we did a show like six years ago or at WSHC together.
Okay.
Where
was the station?
At WSHC, at the Shepherd University Station. Okay. We did every Wednesday morning, we had the Are You Crazy show.
Uh-huh. You Crazy show.
Yeah, we had a good time. And we had a lot of good people on there. We we also had a woman from Florida. To this day, I don't know how Zaki hooked up with her. Mm-hmm. But in any event, well, she's a psychologist, family therapist type thing. But she used to be, she started out her career as a sex counselor in New York.
Okay.
I'm never quite sure what the word sex counselor means, but but whatever. We'll assume it was a
nice job, though.
We'll assume it was, you know, not the.
That's pretty interesting.
Whatever. But anyway, she used to call in all the time. Uh-huh. And, you know, there was never. She was a little bit kind of halfway between Dr. Laura and Dr. Phil. I mean, she had a little bit of a, you know, get off your ass and do something about your situation. Don't sit there talking to me. Okay, there was a little bit of that. And that didn't go quite with the. That's not where Zaki's at. Okay, exactly. Right. But on the other hand, you know, I have seen Zaki, okay, when he is being told a line of BS. To say, and this is to a person that's probably hurting in some ways, but still, he says,
he called it
please. Please.
Yeah, he called it a thing.
You know,
thing,
please, just stop. No, he said, stop bullshitting me. You know, you're not here to talk to me about that,
I appreciate it.
And, you know,
like
right? You know, let's get down to the nitty gritty.
Stand up guy.
And I love him anyway. Yeah. He's. Mm-hmm. Been a good friend. Anyway, we were up in North Philly. His mom died. Mm-hmm. And we went to this church that, an Episcopal church. I'm not quite sure. The church had an interesting origin anyway, but it was a very progressive church, and it was also had a lot of, it was weird. I would say it was about 60% African American, but a mixed congregation. Mm-hmm. And they had just hired, female gay priest.
Okay.
But, you know, I was wondering whether everybody was getting along. But apparently, whoever they hired was doing a good job. I mean, I think maybe people will get over their little things, right? If they if someone's doing a good job, right?
I mean, somebody's doing a good job. You know, it outweighs everything, or it should. But in some cases, unfortunately,
no, I know, and to be truthful, like 60% of most of these, ministers or full time pastor jobs, is pastoral care, visiting the sick and dying.
Yeah,
and you know that's a heavy load to carry
that is,
without becoming.
Mm-hmm.
too hardened, you know, to the whole thing.
I know,
right?
Yeah, becoming too cynical. Yeah, yeah, and a big shout out to Senator John Unger. What's John's middle name? You seem to have a lot of insights.
I don't know.
He has one, though, right? Everybody.
Might be Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they want to tell anybody. Well, you know, there's some cultures in which people are get the middle name, you know.
Jesus.
Not just Mexican, by the way, but Salvadoran. You're going to get people whose first, name, middle, and
last name
fourth and fifth name are Jesus, you know, and it's really, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping that we get our caller calls in this morning.
Jesus and Maria.
She wrote a book, In My Father's House by Diana Ferguson. She's a local pastor, and, you know, up in Kearneysville, and she's going to come on in a few minutes and enlighten us, talk to us about her book and her church, and I'm going to ask her some questions about how the church is doing in terms of addiction and doing what you just said, feeding the hungry and clothing people and visiting the sick and, you know, just kind of a healing forest type thing. I just want to know and get some answers. So I'm hopeful that she'll call in. But we, in the meantime, it's very interesting you brought up the pastoral care, because Senator John Unger is he works seemingly tireless in doing. Here's our caller calling in. This, you know, I like that ringtone we got. That must be
there. You go.
Good morning, caller. You there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord, Pastor. How are you?
Sigmund James Boyd.
Yes, this is James. It's Recovery Radio. I appreciate you calling in. John and I were just talking about, you know, your book, and we were waiting on you to call in and get with us so we can kind of have church this morning.
Hi, I'm John Case.
Yes. So how are you this morning, Pastor?
I'm fine, thank you.
Okay, can you move you got your phone in a place where we can hear you? Is she coming through?
She's coming through perfect right now. Yes, to me. How about you? You want your little volume up there, James?
Yes, please.
Okay, we might, if I can just find out which number you're plugged into, that will...
I don't know if you were listening.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's much better, John. Thank you so much. Praise God. I don't know if you were listening to the opening when we... did you have any problems navigating to the play?
Unfortunately, I did on my cell phone, so I'm calling you from another phone. But I'm here.
Okay. Well, that's good. We'll go over some of that later on in the show, how you can listen live. Because I wanted you to hear the song. We usually open up with a song, and I chose this morning Jacqueline Carr, You Will Win. And I kind of wanted to lay the foundation. So what I would invite you to do, first of all, is introduce yourself to our listening audience. And you are?
I am Pastor Diana Ferguson from Kearneysville Community Baptist Church. And I'm definitely a West Virginia citizen.
Okay. And the address of your church is?
It's 500 Stubbs Road, Kearneysville, West Virginia.
Okay. You familiar with that, John? You familiar with Kearneysville?
I'm familiar with
what do you know about Kearneysville?
The assistant postmaster in Kearneysville has been my tax preparer for at least 15 years. And she's a former baseball player too, AAA baseball player. And a vet. And so that's my knowledge of Kearneysville. And I also know from John Doyle that he occasionally, every other election cycle, would lose Kearneysville but win Harpers Ferry and Shepherdstown.
Praise the Lord. So, Pastor, I'm going to ask you, can you open us up in a little bit of prayer? Let's give us a word of prayer.
Hold on. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another beautiful day and an opportunity, Lord God, to express the love we have for you. We're asking you, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, that you would bless and anoint all of us as we're gathered together, that we may magnify your name, Lord God, and we'll give you all the glory, Lord God, for all the goodness that you have shared with us. I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this service, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So I was reading, In My Father's House. That's a familiar set of words, a phraseology there. How did you choose that topic? I'm going to talk about the front of your book.
This book, I can actually say, was written because he instructed me to, and he even gave me that title to use. So, and then it's about his house.
Okay.
And his house is the church of the Lord thy God.
Mm-hmm. And so that comes from actually what? John 2:16.
It is expressing the love of being in his house and how important it is for us to be there. Because, you know, the word says, fail not to assemble yourself together.
Okay. And it's important to be. So I'm reading here, the Lord is the builder of all things. Trust him, obey him, follow him, and he will direct your path. All things were made by him. And you wrote me in your bio that this book was inspired by something about your faith. And about how God spoke to you about building your church.
Yes,
and
it was.
So yeah, that was pretty interesting. I'm always willing to help in any way that I can here on Recovery Radio, because we're all one family, and I think that these kinds of connections are very important, especially in the addicted community, to where the church community, the religious community, you know, they're definitely taking an active part in the opioid crisis that we face. And yep, so, yeah, you wrote, nothing was made without him, John 1:3. Can you elaborate a little bit on that particular verse and why you chose that to be right up top?
Because everything was made. It says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we have to understand that the way everything you see in society today was made by him. He had a purpose in mind for it all, and even us. He has a purpose in mind for you, and he has a purpose in mind for me and everyone else that exists. And he wanted to express that, because everyone seemed to think they were born for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not so. He made everything.
And he directs our path, is what you said. Follow him, he will direct your path. And in which way, I mean, I know you've been a pastor for quite some time, so I'm sure that you're on the right path. I'm pretty sure of that, because people fall by the wayside and drop out. How long have you been pastoring there, you said?
I've been pastoring for almost 27 years now. But 27
years.
I was co-pastoring for almost 10 prior to that. Been saved for a good time. But, he's the saver. He's the potter. He's the one that creates, and he's the one that develops us. So, and that's important.
Mm-hmm. What do you want people to take away from... is this a book? Because I have to be honest with you, because we booked at such a short notice, I wasn't really sure of how to get a copy of the book. And I know it's only 106 pages, so
yes,
not to make excuses, because I'm going to go and get a copy and read it so that I can tell you that I did read it. But in the meantime, let's do the show. I want to have church, if it's okay with you. I mean, I'm sure you're always game for that. Can you take us to, just give us an idea of what the worship is like at your house of worship, where you pastor? What's a day like, a Sunday?
Well, it's beautiful. You know, it's a day for us to honor him. It's another moment. I do it every day. But it's an opportunity for us to release the weight off of our shoulders and off of our back and really give him the praise, because he's so worthy of it. You know, he wrote that book because he's specifying to people how important it is for us to gather together in his name. So Sunday, it is a beautiful opportunity to come together in unity and to give him some glory. The purpose for that book that he instructed me to write was to tell people that he exists. He still lives today. And all the miracles that we can have when we believe in him and follow him by faith. So it's important for people to get back in their Father's house. You know, don't eliminate going to his house. Praise and worship, because he's so powerful and he's so anointed. And he can guide us when we get in line with him.
Amen. Amen. Keep on going. I'm going to let you. You have free will this morning. Just talk to us about your book.
God's vision is something that he'll share with you when we are obedient. And this book tells us how the miracles that he allowed to happen for us to build, to renovate his church that didn't have any bathrooms. So we were asking for the little things, but he gave us such tremendous things. And the way he gave it was so many miracles, because we were a very small church, no money, and not a huge amount of people to assist us that were members of the church. But God sent his helpers. You know, he sent the people to do the work. He made provisions for all of our needs. I mean, the book tell you about one miracle after the other, how mm-hmm. he instructed us to do the things he told us to do, mm-hmm. and we did them, how the church became a new renovated building.
Well, and praise God.
I must admit that part of that renovation was me, because if you read the book, it'll tell you how he even developed me mm-hmm. as I was going through the process. And what he wanted to share with people is we shouldn't feel like we're not worthy of God, because we all fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And once we understand that even though we're not feeling perfect,
mm-hmm.
we do have the ability to repent,
mm-hmm.
we have the ability to ask the Lord to forgive us, and he will.
Mm-hmm.
And while he's building us, mm-hmm. he'll bless us.
Amen.
He'll tremendously yeah. bless us.
For those who might tune in to something like Recovery Radio and they're not familiar with some of the terms because they don't attend church or whatever the reasons might be, what is repentance?
Repentance is when you've done something that's contrary to the Word of God. When you're mm-hmm. not standing in line with the Word of God, you need to seek His forgiveness. And I've been there, you mm-hmm. know, and I can't even tell you today I'm perfect, even though I'm seeking perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But I learn how to repent. Some things only come out by fasting and praying. So mm-hmm. I will fast and I will pray 40 days if I have to fast 40 days, mm-hmm. 3 days, 1 day, whatever it needs for me to get out of where the darkness is and to mm-hmm. get into His marvelous light is so important and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
He says a few things or many things does not matter. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Keep your eyes on the
prize. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, He will save us. So you may think that you have a lot of things that you want to receive, or maybe you'll get a few. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. When you're serving Him, you're in His hands. And He can bless you with mm-hmm. so many tremendous things, which is what I've experienced and had to write in this book.
Mm-hmm.
How He can bless us and guide us and give us what we're in need of, and
yes.
even the desires of our hearts.
Yes. And He shapes all things and makes all things. And do you believe in happenstance? I know that's kind of like a rhetorical question for me almost, but I want to get your take on that. How do you feel about things happening by chance?
It could be a miracle. You know, it could just, if it's a good chance, then it's a miracle from the Lord. Or it could be, if it's a bad chance, then it's the attack of from Satan. And it occurs in our lives. And, you know, Satan is always here to test us, to see whether or not we will stay with him. The main question in the Bible I think exists is what will separate you from the love of God?
Mm-hmm.
Is the things that you're going through in your life, will that take away the love of God from you? We're always going to be tried, like Job was.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we hold on to Him and we don't let anything divide us from Him, we will be tremendously blessed.
Mm-hmm.
He says every time you fall down, repent and get back on track.
And get back on track.
Because we all fall short of the glory of God.
Amen.
But He knows our hearts mm-hmm. and the sincerity of our actions. So don't give up.
Amen.
Have
Amen.
Faith.
Amen. Have faith and come together.
It's possible to please Him, so you have to have faith in Him.
Amen.
And know that He can do everything but fail.
Mm.
So He's marvelous.
Well, praise God. Well, I certainly do. So how can we can? I'm looking at it on Amazon, so I guess somebody can just go to Amazon and order this book. And you know,
Amazon.
Maybe we can,
com.
Yeah, and get some Christmas gifts going. It sounds like a good read. I was looking at the front cover, and what motivated you to come up with this cover, and what is it about?
Well, the front cover, it shows, the Lord told me when we were building the building, to mm-hmm. renovate the building, I asked Him about contractors. He told me to allow the community to build the church, to build the addition. So the front cover will show the females and the males. We had a Puerto Rican guy named Frank mm-hmm. Macedonia, who helped us. We had female, my sisters and my brothers, and we had children. If you read the book, you'll see mm-hmm. there was children. You'll mm-hmm. see there was a host of community members to help us build his house, and it took us almost 3 years to get it done, but every step was from His grace and His mercy and His blessing. And no debt was one of the things he told us, and it happened that way. No debt.
Oh, no debt. No debt.
He'll tell you how you can do things that you virtually don't think you're possible. You have the possibility of doing. And for me to imagine that I would be physically helping to build a church,
mm-hmm.
Never crossed my mind until
Praise
he told
God.
Me to. So,
I think they call it church planting. Church planting. I was reading something about the way that we're going to be able to reach as many people in as many communities as we can is to start planting churches. Just everywhere. And so I said, well, that's kind of something that I needed my mind to be opened about because, I'm in that category where I would say something like, wow, there's a church on every corner. And without really realizing what a mistake that is to say, because there needs to be a church, in every inch of whatever space that we occupy and in whatever place.
Because I believe that.
Yeah, amen.
We need to realize
so I really
church,
applaud. Church, people think that, well, I don't know people. I just know the people that I do know that say they think that the pastor has an easy job of it. But it's usually mostly younger people that don't realize that they ain't never been through nothing. Pastor has to show up at church when she don't feel like showing up at church. In her physical, and you can't just take a Sunday off. So how much, what kind of process is that for you spiritually because I know God equips, but how did that work for you in terms of building this church on faith?
Well, it was about faith. Trust your man. It was about faith. And when he instructed me in the way to handle circumstances, I obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't anticipated doing that way because, naturally we want to have contractors, we want to have people come and do the work. But at the end of the book, you're going to see specifically why he had me doing what he had me to do because, he's a builder of
Amen.
All things.
Amen.
And he helped to build me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so thankful for him teaching me how to do what he told me to do. Because he says, follow the path by which he has prepared for us. We need to stay on the path of righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, we're obeying him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so possible and so beautiful. To my scripture now is, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Romans.
That's the only power I have is working through him.
Yeah. That's I was getting ready to say Romans 8:28, but that's not Romans 8:28. That's I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
That's Philippians.
Chapter in text?
He's telling us how we can do all things through Christ
mm-hmm.
Jesus who strengthens us because he is our strength.
Yeah.
And when you think that you're not able to do anything, he'll make it all possible.
Mm-hmm. And I believe so. How do you get a new convert who doesn't have seemingly does not have food on the table to walk in faith?
Well, when we have someone, we pray. Praying and fasting is important. When you feel like you don't have the faith, you need to learn how to pray. And when you turn everything over into his hands, then he makes everything possible. Because I must admit, even though he gave me a task to do, I can't say that I walked through it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
There was always doubt. You always want to throw in the towel. But my faith got increased because I consistently prayed and asked him to deliver me. And he strengthens us when we do that.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, pray without ceasing. So
yes.
Having the ability to pray is important, and doing it all the time is highly necessary, because he will deliver us. He will help us.
Mm-hmm. And so to come worship with you for my listening audience, and you can teach how to have faith. Could you teach something like that to a group of folks? Because I mean, it has to be something that you learn, right? Or you just do it. How do you? How do you? No, teach them how to pray. I'm sorry, not to have faith. How to pray?
Yes, how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just calling on the name of Jesus is a good way to go and to start when you're in a moment of weakness. You know, even though I stand on Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You can have power in the name of Jesus. If you just call on his name sometimes when you have weak moments and you need his help, you need some deliverance, just call on the name of Jesus and he'll bring you through.
I do it every morning. Just call on his name. And so how does the church line up with the addiction crisis that we're facing in our communities? What are we as a church responsible
for? We deal with addiction people. We spend a lot of time praying and fasting for those we know who are falling short in that aspect, because it's not an easy task for them to overcome. But God has the ability to do it. He can deliver you from anything. Nothing is possible. Nothing is impossible for him. So praying for those who are addicted and showing them love and being kind and helping them as much as you can is important.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of dismisses the idea of tough love. What is your take on that in terms of the judicial system, the tough love for people who are addicted to substance?
Sometimes, sometimes when we are referring to tough love, it's still about love. Mm-hmm. You know, tough love is being honest. You know, is you sometimes need to express to them pure honesty, you know, things that they need to know. Sometimes, most of the time, when I'm expressing honesty to someone, it's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, by the Word of God.
By the Word of God.
When we're falling short, He lets us know. Mm-hmm. There's always so many examples in the Bible of how people can make mistakes in their lives and how they can be recovered from it. You know, how King David, the things that he did to get the woman that he wanted and what he did to Uriah. So there's always examples of how people will do things that are ungodly. But repent, seek forgiveness, and he will deliver us. So there's nothing too strong for the Lord to deliver us from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you all put you have the baptismal pool in your church?
No, we go to rivers, or we sometimes go to swimming pools down at, usually at Shepherd College. Mm-hmm. We go to Shepherd College to do baptism, or in the summertime, we'll go to the river.
Oh, yeah. I was at a conference at Shepherd last night. So I went to a river baptism, Pastor Conway. I don't know if you're familiar with Pastor Conway.
Yes, I am.
Okay, he performed for a friend of mine. They went down to Harper's Ferry. And went in the river under the and it was my first time witnessing a baptism like that in the river, actually, the way the thing started off when John the Baptist was doing it. and I thought it was very eye opening, it was very enlightening for me. You know, I was baptized inside a church building in a baptismal pool in the name of Jesus, but outside was just something different for me, so that was a pretty good experience.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Baptism is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's needed. And, you know, his word, like I said, will not return void. Mm-hmm. Once you get down into that water, and you will come up so purified, so new, and it's beautiful.
Amen. All of the pastors that I know, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a minute. All the pastors that I've come across, they sing. Can you bless us with a verse from your spiritual voice? You feel like doing that, or maybe another time?
I guess one of my favorites is
Go ahead. You're on air now. It's not going to be a album deal or nothing coming on Enlightened Radio, but we're working on it.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see.
Praise
That's
God.
An important message.
Praise
for
God.
Anyone.
Praise God. Beautiful. Angelic. Okay, so Pastor, tell me, how do I witness in the street? What is there some sort of I don't know, there's no formula for a person going out and standing on the corner and witnessing to somebody. Witness to me, right fast, as a pastor.
God is able to bless you and guide you. If you have any circumstances in your life that you believe you need deliverance from, try bowing down before the Lord thy God and praying that he will deliver you, you know, and he will bless you. When you show love to him, when you be obedient and follow his word, he will lift you up on a level that you can't even imagine. So don't feel that because you have short things in your life, shortcomings in your life, that you're unworthy, because you are so special. God made you unique. When he designed you for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And he has something that he wants you to do for him.
Amen.
So don't give up.
Praise God. Praise God.
Know that he will always be there for you.
Oh,
he will always be there
such,
for you.
Such good advice. That is such a good witness. That is such a good witness. So I'm going to give us the number of your church again. I'm going to try and get over there and fellowship with you guys pretty quickly.
Our number is, our location is 500 Stubbs Row,
mm-hmm.
and it's Kernersville, West Virginia. Our telephone number is 304-876-0658. The second number is 304-876-3329. I am Pastor Diana Ferguson. We do have multiple assistant pastors recently who are helping out. And anyone is welcome. You know, our doors is always welcome.
Praise
for anyone
God.
Who's in need of a service or need to just to hear what thus says the Lord.
Praise
We're
God.
We're there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also see the miracles that God gave us.
Praise
Not
God.
That it's superb, but it's yeah. better than whatever it was.
Amen.
I think God is tremendous.
Amen, amen, amen. And that is a superb witness. You know, Pastor, I was just, I was at an addiction forum last night at Shepherd University, and I was being taught actually how to do a screening of a documentary on opioid addiction in West Virginia. And I would like to kind of come over and talk to you about, and we looked the film. I got the DVD and the training DVD, and how we can present that to your congregation and even to the community out there where you live. Would that be something
that
we could put together? Because it, you know, we'd be educating the public, we'd be changing the conversation about addiction so that we can change the language and the attitudes that perpetuate the stigma and prevent people from seeking treatment or prevent people, you know, from coming to the Lord. Actually, there's an opportunity to, we're breaking glass ceilings. Because, you know, the spiritual peace, you know, and I don't care what nobody says, it through Jesus Christ that I'm saved, that I'm here today as a recovering addict. So I'm trying to give back. And I'd like to partner with some church communities. Is that something that we can kind of talk about one day?
Absolutely. Our door is open because it's not like we can't say we don't have issues with people who have drug problems, and but God is blessing them. He's moving them up.
Amen.
And but
Amen.
For them to hear from other people who mm-hmm. have been developed from it is important.
Amen.
So what you're doing is necessary because this area has been highly impacted by drug addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Whatever service you can provide in that area is needed.
Well, praise the Lord. I am so thankful that you took the invitation and decided to at such short notice. So we're going to have to kind of wrap it up. Yeah, John, you want to add anything? Maybe we can ask Pastor to pray for you.
For me?
Yeah.
Well, that would be, again, I feel like I'm falling down that tall building.
Oh, okay. So far, so
going at floor at a time, and everyone says, "How you doing?" And I would say, "So far, so good." You know,
that's wonderful.
But
you're being blessed.
Anyway, I've enjoyed hearing the discussion, I think faith communities are important for when other protections fail, and that they can go over and beyond and become the what they have, in many ways, have always been in the, for a community. So I think that's however one steps into the Granite Lake.
Inside, in my Father's house. That right. is the name of the novel we're discussing this morning. And Pastor Diane Ferguson is on air with us this morning. And we certainly appreciate it. And so we'll be coming to visit you soon. Real soon.
You're more than welcome.
See if we can educate the public.
And I believe the Lord wants people to really know all the miracles that He has created. When you just have faith in Him, and you all seem to have faith in Him because you've been delivered.
Amen.
God is going to bless you and take you even higher.
Amen.
He will take care of you always.
We will win. So, Pastor, you got a favorite song? I'm gonna see if I can get John to pull something up for
we'll
you.
See what we can do.
Yeah. What's your Oh, she liked Amazing Grace. She just
Oh, well, we can do Amazing Grace. Yeah. Okay, I can find
Let's close out with Amazing Grace. And you're welcome to come on the show. Don't be a stranger. Keep that number locked away somewhere. Pass it to your friends and family. And let's do some listening parties. Let's come on air as a community and talk about some of the things that we need to address and take them to the cross. So you're very welcome to come on. Just let me know a week or so ahead of time. And if you have a topic that you would like to bring on air and discuss, if you want to keep us informed as to how the your church community, your home is progressing and some of the events that you're doing. If you have events coming up at the church, let me know and I'll advertise them here on Recovery Radio and pass them along to John. And the station, by the way, is on the air 7 days a week.
That's right. www.enlightenradio.org.
Yeah.
At the top of the page is a player. So
galvanize the community.
Okay, I got Amazing Grace here. This is an old version of Amazing Grace from the 1950s with Clarence Thomas and Doc Watson.
Wow!
And so it's a little bit of Appalachian and it's a thing, but maybe that'll work.
It's amazing. What is grace? Okay, Pastor, God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
That is original.
Once blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed.
Everybody.
Amazing grace.
How sweet. God bless you.
Yeah, and so what's that? That's from the archives?
Well, that's, yeah, that's what the that was a live performance in Los Angeles at an old folk club that I think it's long gone now.
Yeah,
called, and it was Doc Watson, who was a flat picker. He could sing too, as you can tell.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Clarence Thomas, who's also another old Appalachian kind of. Okay. Anyway,
You know, that's a that's an amazing app. That's not an app. That's just a.
It's just a recording that.
No, I mean the archive.
What the Internet Archive. Internet is all public domain.
You can really
music,
find some old
culture books, recordings of great speeches. I mean, that's like a Library of Congress audio and video. They have lots of videos. You can a lot of anything that's gone out of copyright pretty much is there. It's beautiful.
How much time we got? Do we have time to listen to something by Mahalia before we go off air, or is it we are at an hour?
I think we're right about there. Actually.
Okay, so we're going to do that at another show. Pastor, you got to come back on, okay?
Sure enough, will. But God bless you.
And God bless you. Thanks for Thank for you. Joining
All
us.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, so, okay, we'll bring that to an end right there.